7:14 now. Christians and boycotts, do they really work? Why or why not?
Mm-hmm.
Many Christians are boycotting Netflix because of a comedy special that featured a gay Jesus.
Yeah, we use the term loosely.
Yeah.
Comedy.
Mm-hmm. Then we have Hallmark Cards. The Missouri-based owner of the Hallmark Channel, Kate, I know you like to watch a lot of those movies.
I do.
They faced a boycott from conservatives last month for featuring ads of two kissing brides, and they announced plans recently to cut 400 jobs from their global workforce, including 325 from their Kansas City-based headquarters. And so we have two examples in the news of boycotts among, they're mentioned as conservatives here, but, you know, Christians obviously are a big part of this, too. So Christians and boycotts, again, there's nothing new under the sun. Do you think that this is something that is effective, or are you of the opinion that perhaps maybe even with the best of intentions, a boycott is not the answer, it's not helpful, and maybe it's actually hurtful to the cause of Christ? If you have an opinion on this, you can call us 888-777-6810. The Kurt and Kate hotline is open. That's 888-777-6810. Joining us is Randall Rouser, and Randall wrote an op-ed piece for the Christian Post, christianpost.com, and here's the title of it, Screwtaped on the Misguided Christian Boycott of Netflix. And I read through this, and he had some really good points. And so I'm thinking, man, we've got to get Randall with us to chat about this. And, in fact, he is joining us here this morning. Hey, Randall, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me, Kurt.
All right. So you wrote this piece, this opinion piece. Are you the kind of guy that likes to write these types of things, or was it just something you're like, man, I really got to say something about this?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm a professor, so I often like to have my head in the ivory tower, but every once in a while I like to emerge into the light of day and address a contemporary issue, and this one kind of just fell on my lap.
So as you, I mentioned the title of your piece. Are you getting any blowback from it, by the way?
I've gotten some modest critique, some people that defend the Netflix boycott, but it hasn't been too bad. I should say that I'm up in Canada. This is where I'm located, and it's a little bit, sort of the culture wars are a little bit less heated up here, so, and it's also a lot colder because it's winter.
Right. And by the way, yeah, you heard the weather forecast, and we promise we will not rub it in.
No, you just did, but that's fine.
That's okay. It's very subtle, though, so that makes it okay. All right, you make some major points here, why perhaps boycotting Netflix in particular over this gay Jesus show, why this may not be a great idea. Of course, it has gone viral. It appeared on Twitter. It ended up on your radar, and you're like, okay, as I thought through this, there are some big ideas here. You've got three main ones. Let's walk through them. Let's start with number one.
Great. Yeah, so the first one is pretty straightforward, actually. It's that these kinds of boycotts tend to give a lot of free publicity to the offending product. And in most cases, the worst thing is no publicity at all. So this actually gets people asking the question, well, what's the show? And for every 10 people that ask that question, one or two may end up checking it out. So you just end up inadvertently promoting the very thing you want to protest against.
Yes.
So you've got that calling attention to it, where otherwise people may have been just kind of ignoring it. All right, so it drums up interest in the offending product, thereby granting it loads of free publicity. That's number one. Your second point is boycotts and protests hurt the Christian witness. How so?
Yeah, so this one, let me give an example from Philip Yancey. When he wrote What's So Amazing About Grace, he talks about how he'd sit on an airplane beside people and he'd ask them, what does the word evangelical bring to mind? And they always said negative stuff. Well, it means, you know, anti-abortion, anti-gay marriage, and they go through this laundry list of objections, and they never talked about anything positive like grace or love. And so I think that gets me into the second point, that when we're focusing a lot on boycotts, and that's all that the wider culture is ever hearing about Christians is protests and things that we're opposed to, then they get a very distorted picture of the Christian witness. They only know what we're against and not what we're for. So I'd like people maybe to focus a little bit more on the grace and love side of Christianity and de-emphasize some of the oppositional boycotts.
Yeah, that phrase, they know us more by what we're against than what we are for, that has almost become a Christian cliche, really, in the past decade or so, simply because we have that caricature, don't we, of the angry Christian who is holding a Bible high in the air, perhaps, and screaming and yelling, which is not helpful. But you know, that ties into with social media. Who wants to be the angry Christian on social media? And there are a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and certainly when you bring in social media, it kind of just makes everything worse, because often when we're in social media, we kind of get siloed, and we tend to, you know, Facebook or whatever, the people we interact with are the ones we agree with, and then when we kind of venture out and interact with other people, it's not in a charitable sense, right? It's just sort of to state what we're against. And so I think that when you throw the boycott into the social media context, it just makes everything more incendiary, where people get more opposed and angry at each other.
Your final point here, so we've got, just to recap, the outrage boycotts. In many cases, you claim you're like, you know what? It just gives, it drums up interest in the offending product. And so you got free publicity, spotlight on whatever it is. Boycotts and protests hurt the Christian witness sometimes. And then finally, I'm quoting from your piece in the Christian Post, consistently following out the logic of knee-jerk boycotts and protests like this sets Christians up to be either wing nuts living in log cabins off the grid or caustic hypocrites who confabulate. Did I pronounce that word right?
That's
yeah.
A good one.
That's a good one. That's great. That's right. Confabulate torture justifications to explain why they're boycotting X but not Y. Okay, let's whittle that down. So point number three, put it in layman's terms for us.
Yeah, like I said, I'm a professor, and sometimes I let the ivory tower kind of leach out into my writing, so please forgive that. But the basic idea is this, that when we oppose these kinds of things on a principle, we have to be very careful that we can follow the principle consistently. So one objection to Netflix having this show is that they're making it available. And the point I made is, while the public library makes all sorts of things available that we would disagree with, doesn't mean that we stop going to the local library. So another person then might say, okay, maybe the objection is that in this case, Netflix actually helped produce the material as well. But then the problem is that there are many movie studios that make good movies and also make movies that we might disagree with. Even Disney DreamWorks, right, makes some content that a Christian might find morally problematic. Does that mean you want to boycott all of DreamWorks? Or a publisher might publish a book you love, but another book that you don't love. So they're producing that. So the difficulty is to be consistent in the principle that we're appealing to in order to justify the boycott.
Talking this hour about Christians and boycotts. Do they really work? Why or why not? What is your opinion regarding this? And my guess is you probably do have an opinion. Maybe you have, I don't know, you never know who's listening. Maybe you started your own boycott of something, kind of a boycott, you know, it's local in nature, or maybe you joined a boycott that was nationwide. We mentioned that many believers are boycotting Netflix because of the comedy show they aired featuring a gay Jesus. And then we have Hallmark Cards Incorporated. They own the Hallmark Channel, of course. Faced a boycott from many people last month for featuring ads of two kissing brides. Announced plans recently to cut 400 jobs from its global workforce, including 325 from their Kansas City-based headquarters. But the articles that I'm seeing pop up with that news item in it, we don't know exactly how much impact the boycott had, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It could be they were planning to do this anyway, according to some people who are commenting on this article. So you have to, yet we only know what we can know at the moment, right?
Yes.
So we run with that. But the bigger issue is, do we employ boycotts? Do we become a part of them? Why or why not? And our guest from Canada this morning is Randall Rouser. He has written an op-ed piece on the Christian Post, christianpost.com. By the way, I put a link to that at our Facebook page, which is Kurt and Kate Mornings on Facebook, two Ks, Kurt and Kate Mornings on Facebook. And you can check out the article itself. That being said, you know what? I just realized I didn't put that link up there. Kate, we need to do that. I just realized I didn't do that. So that was a false promise. That was fake news. That was fake news. I'll repent.
I'll find it and send it and put it up.
Because I'm looking at the Facebook page right now, and I'm like, I thought I put that link up there. But it's really good. And he's kind of outlined for us a few minutes ago some of the reasons why boycotts do not work in his opinion. And so Randall's hanging out with us here. Also,
and
we want to go to the phones.
I'm wondering, they never work? Or do you think we should be pickier?
Oh, yes. Thanks for asking. I think that sometimes boycotts do work and sometimes they're morally justified. Well, just one example, 1791, in England, they led a sugar boycott because sugar was the main product of the slave trade. And so Christians like William Wilberforce led that and asked people to stop buying sugar and putting it in their tea. And that had a big dent into the economics of the slave trade. So there are reasons to have boycotts. We just have to be careful in deciding what we're going to boycott.
Right. Excellent. I'm glad we clarified that because, you know, in some cases, well, it's a case-by-case basis. All right, Randall, we're going to take some calls. Sound good to you?
Sure.
All right, let's go ahead and go to who's first up, Maurice in Tampa. Hi, Maurice. Good morning. Welcome to the conversation.
Good morning.
You have a comment, question? What do you want to share with us?
I do. I have a comment. I would like to say that your guest brought up some very thought-provoking ideas, some I agree with, some I don't. And you all just brought some clarity that I was going to impart in the discussion. I would like to say that business responds to dollars. And with the various isms in this country, at the bottom line, we can see through history, when enough people are unified and galvanized under the auspices of a great cause, business will respond and make adjustments. I think as some of our counter people groups have done in this country, we need to be more strategic and have a unified voice, and we could see some of the changes that we need to see. I do believe that boycotts can work, but we must still be strategic, and it is a case-by-case basis. And one last point I'd like to make to the point that the guest made, and I totally agree, we are unfortunately known more for what we are against versus what we're for.
Yep.
Some of that is because of the way it is promoted on media, the way we are portrayed in media. So as a body of believers, we need to do a better job of getting our message out. And we don't need to diminish the or water down the message, but we need to present the whole message.
Got it, Maurice. Thank you so much for joining in the conversation. Randall, boy, that's something else. It's almost like a subtopic. How we are portrayed as evangelical Christians, TV shows and the media in general.
Yeah, there's this term confirmation bias, which refers to the fact that everybody looks for evidence to support their assumptions, and we kind of screen the evidence that way. And so when you have a wider secular media that's often hostile to Christians, they'll look for anything that portrays us in a negative light in order to convey that very skewed perspective. So my concern is just not to give them more ammunition.
Exactly. You don't ever want to hand your enemies a weapon so that they can attack you with it. All right. So let's be redemptive. We're going to get back to more calls here based upon your opinions. So if you want to join us, we have one line open, 888-777-6810. As a follower of Jesus, thumbs up or thumbs down when it comes to boycotts is the big question. Do they really work? Okay, so what do we do? You know, what is the best approach to this? You know, at this point, we're like, okay, we've plumbed the depths of this. How do we proceed from this point onward? What is the big takeaway? What do you think regarding that? Because whenever we wrestle with stuff, we want to make sure it has a redemptive value.
Yeah, I think that we need to recognize that we have a limited amount of social capital. And so if we are going to boycott something, we need to think through the reasons for it. I think often in our social media age, we have a sort of quick knee-jerk reaction to things. It's easy to kind of retweet something. There's this term slacktivism instead of activism, where you retweet something and then you think of yourself as an activist. And I think we just need to recognize that when we put our name on something, we retweet, we sign something, we agree with it, we have to be careful that we are really choosing the most important things to take a stand on so that we're not eroding that social capital with a skeptical world.
Yeah, I would have to say amen to that. That's good stuff. Randall, thank you so much for being with us this morning, and we appreciate your insights here. Thanks for writing this this opinion piece, because it has a lot of people thinking and wrestling with ideas. It helps to sharpen our convictions and helps us to own what we say we believe. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks, and enjoy the January heat wave, and I'll keep freezing up here in Canada.
Right. What's the current temperature, Kate? No, we can't do that. That would be so unkind.
It's in the 70s.
Oh, yeah, and getting warmer by the minute. Thanks, Randall.
All right, take care.
Have a great day today. 8887.